Blog Talk Radio.
This is Yasa Sagonige, a seventh great grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established orders. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots Peace Council.
This is 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Ginalee, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Tonight we have with us, of course, Blue Otter, the host of Prophecy Keepers. as along with his special guest, Red Elk. And hello, both of you. How are you?
Thank you, my brother.
So anyhow, I'm just going to just kind of like sit back and listen to you guys pretty much talk, and I'll ask, if you don't mind, I'll ask a few questions myself.
By all means, I hope you do. Okay, there's a woman side, the man side.
Yes, that, and that's what gives us our balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And and you've been on our bill a lot too. I remember before I got doing what I'm doing, you know, on the radio shows, I used to listen to you a lot on Art Bell. As a matter of fact, you were my favorite guest, or, you know, Art Bell's, the favorite person I wanted to listen to on Art Bell. I should say it like that, I suppose.
Well, he's got some pretty knowledgeable people.
Yes, he does.
I really haven't been on a lot, twice with Mr. Bell, twice with Nori, and then Replay.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't think I've listened to you much on Nori, but I know I used to listen to you on Art Bell. You've only been on there twice?
With Mr. Bell.
Really? It just seems to me like you were on there a lot more than that. Look,
well, they played it again at least once each time, so it would be, you know, in a sense, four times with Mr. Bell, four times with Mr. Nori.
Oh, and hopefully 12 times at least with us.
You were on there with another gentleman that was sitting in for on a weekend, weren't you, Grandfather?
That was Mr. Nori at the time. That was before he went full-time.
Well, didn't Whitley Strieber also work with Art Bell at one point in time?
Yes, he did, but yeah. He didn't interview me.
Okay. It's hard keeping up to everyone. You know, so... Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, Red Elk, for the ones that don't know much about what you're doing? And
well, I would like to make a couple of statements for the full-blood Indian folk. And number one is this. I use my ceremony name. I do not use the name that my mother made me take. And I am not a Mr. Red Elk or Red or Mr. Elk or Mr. Red. I am just simply Red Elk.
Uh-huh.
And I had no choice of the ceremony name. It's not one that I would have chosen. But that's the way I felt about it when I received it. It took a year later to find out how honored I was to have it. But there are Red Elks who have a surname, Red Elk, and I am, to my knowledge, not related to these people. And I am also a breed. I am white and I am Native American Indian. And I make no bones about it. I do not play or say that I am Indian, period. I am a breed. I wear, in a sense, one moccasin and one street shoe. So I want that understood. And also I ask that no one, not one single person, believe the word that I say, that they pray about it, that they contemplate it, that they find out if I'm telling truth or lies, that they find out. Don't just walk out saying Red Elk said. That's stupid. There's a lot of people that say a lot of things, and it misleads whole groups. Don't be so dumb yourself. Test me. Ask the Creator. Now hope.
And I know he is. I want to talk about this. No, he is from the planet.
My brother, I'm sorry. I can barely make out anything.
Well, that's wise. Even Christ said that. Test the spirits. Right?
Yeah, but I can hardly hear my brother on the other end. It's very big.
Well, I was just saying that a lot of folks don't realize that it's completely possible to ask Creator a question as to whether or not what Red Elk is saying is true and get an answer. All you have to do is wait. You need to keep asking until you get an answer. It might take a few minutes. It might take a few days. It might take a few weeks, but you will get an answer if you keep asking. here is going to be extremely important to ascertain who's telling the truth and who isn't, because next year is going to be very eventful.
In 2005.
Right. I'm told that we're going to have wild problems with the weather.
That will be one of many problems. And is this going to escalate until the people realize they are the one that brought it upon themselves, and they are the ones that can take it away? But only they can do it. It cannot be done by any scientist or any government, or it's strictly a one-on-one thing, you, that can change your ways and return to the way that you were born originally, with full knowledge of the Creator. And you were saying that all you have to do is wait. There is a little more involved. You have to expect an answer and then wait.
And watch for the signs?
Well, whatever it takes, however, he's going to answer your question.
But you know, Red Elk, you bring something up about that we should, we have to take care of this problem ourselves. But, you know, there's a dilemma there, because most of the people do not even realize what the problem is. They have been lied to for thousands of years, not just several generations, but there's been thousands of years of programming where these people anymore, they don't even know what their true reality is. And we need to educate these people enough where they need, that they want to throw away their past teachings and start out on their own path of education, of learning what their true person really is, not the person that they have been told is.
Well, this is very true. But again, even though many, many past generations have equaled up to what goes on today, each is born brand new with all the knowledge. And it is when, as they grow, they accept false knowledge, or they reject. In short, no matter how many eons ago that this false knowledge has been given out, and it has, but at the same time, you weren't there eons ago. This is not carried through eons from eons ago. It is passed on from generation to generation, but not from you as a brand new baby. You accept it as you grow up. The people tell you what to believe and what not to believe.
Yes.
And there's no freedom in that.
No. I agree with you totally. And what are your thoughts, Blue Otter?
Well, I agree with him. He's absolutely right, but it's absolutely imperative that people establish a direct link with the Creator. If you're a Christian, you need to remember that Moses, in the camp of Israel, when people came complaining to Moses, there were people going around prophesying. Moses said, "I would that all the people would be prophets." And it is entirely possible for us to all have the Creator's voice. He said in the Bible, "My sheep know my voice." And he wasn't kidding.
He also said, all are born, with the inborn knowledge that there is but one God. And by the way, we talk about God as He, and yet the Creator has no sex. It's a he if you want him to be a he. It's a she if you want him to be a she. It's a great cosmos. As long as you understand in your heart how you're addressing this great one, And so we'll continue saying he because that seems to be the common form.
Okay. We can do that. Now, the Native American, though, has an advantage over the European because it seems like we have, for past generations, been taught the European way, which is, of course, naturally not the Native American way. And because of it, we just don't have the knowledge that the Native American has about the Creator. We've been taught about this, the God of, I hate to say false God, you know, because, you know, but, you know, the God that we've been taught about may have been actually the Anunnaki, right? The Anunnaki.
Well, you can believe what you want, but there's still only one God. You say the Anunnaki.
Yeah.
Referring to more than one.
Yeah.
But there is still only one.
Right.
They had somebody that created them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, I find.
But we don't get very much. But we don't get very much information as to who created the Anunnaki.
The same one that created you and me.
Right. Yeah.
I kind of disagree with that. When you can get close to the Creator, I'm speaking truly close. So he's not only some, I don't know, piece of air out there in your thoughts. You will find out that the Creator gets close to you and actually speaks when he wants to, as we are speaking. Only it's a whole lot stronger, I tell you. It's like getting hit with a road roller. But when you can get so close to the Creator, and you can, everyone can, then it is quite possible to know Him not just as Creator, not just as Father or Mother, if you prefer, but as Dad or Mom. If you prefer, literally, as that, the Creator of you, who He's created in His mind womb. Therefore, it's easy for me to call everyone brother and sister, because I know He thinks us all into being. We come from the same mind womb. And when you can get to that area in your closeness to the Creator, where you just feel him or her, I will say him just for comfort, you will feel him walking with you, almost holding your hand. Dad, the big dad. Then there's one more step beyond that. Believe it or not, there is one more step. When he ceases to be dad, per se, but dad, my friend, then, the walk is great. The walk is wonderful. And that is attainable to every human being, whether from this planet or others. Human beings refer to soul-bearing beings. And everyone has that opportunity. They, us, we, me, you, I, the whole bit. We are the ones that hold him off at arm's length. He does not want that. He is your Creator.
We are speaking to Red Elk, and you can find him on his website, www.redelk.net, and also Blue Otter. And,
excuse me. Pardon? www.redelk.org.
.org. Yes. www.redelk.org.
.net.
Okay, you tell me. It's W. You say it then.
All right. My website is www.redelk.org. I have a forum. It's www.redelk.net.
Oh, okay. And Blue Otter, would you like to let everyone know what your personal website is?
Find my website. The easiest way is just to do a search engine search for prophecy, or excuse me, Native Prophecy, N-A-T-I-V-E, word prophecy spelled either way. That page there, or the address is www.prophecykeepers.com.
And also you'll be able to find Prophecy Keepers, the show, at www.burlingtonnews.net/prophecykeepersshow. And that is spelled with a C. Okay, I'm sorry, Randolph, but I wanted to make sure that everyone knew out there.
I'm listening to your websites and things, and gee, can't you shorten them up?
Yeah. But unfortunately, that's how our sites are set up. So, yeah. And
well,
now,
anyway,
now where are you,
capable of having a walk in the garden, in a sense, with the great Creator, where he, she, whatever, actually speaks with you, talks. Doesn't happen often, but when it does, it'll flow you.
Yeah.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Otter. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
And what affiliate are you as far as Native American goes? Are you Cherokee or what?
I'm Blackfoot.
Blackfoot?
Or Blackfeet, rather.
Blackfeet.
And French, Shoshone, and Irish.
Okay.
I look like an old Irishman. I don't have the same color I look white. I can't help the way I was born. Nobody can.
See, I'm a Cherokee. Let's see, what am I? Blue Otter. I'm Cherokee, Winnebago, and French in Pennsylvania Dutch. I think I'm probably one of the rainbow people.
I think most of us are, really.
Yeah.
Much like me, my dad was my father's father, born in Sweden, in the town where the Vikings came from, and his mother was born in from German, born in Poland, and. My mom's people were Scotch, Irish, Dutch, French, Irish, name it, and Cherokee, and Powhatan, which is Algonquin. My Powhatan people are the same people as the Cree people, it's the same as the Cree people.
The Cree people?
Cree.
Oh, the Cree, okay.
those are the people that read the Red Elk was up in Canada.
Now, Red Elk, what are you trying to accomplish?
I'm trying to get everybody that will listen to know that they can return to beyond tradition, that they can return to what was originally called purity. When this one called Adam and Eve actually walked in the garden with the Creator, that they were that in tune, and if you want, sinless, which means sin means disobedience to God. They were innocent people, and they were quite capable of actually walking hand in hand with the Creator in the garden. He can make himself appear to look however he wants, so they recognize him as a man or whatever. And this is where tradition started out of. It started out of purity. And today, people of the natives, and frankly, the Christians too, are stuck in tradition. And this limits them. I know they're beautiful. It's great to go to church and stand up on this verse and sit down at that verse and say a prayer at this time and pass the plate around. This whole tradition, you do it this way in this church and that church. And my full-blood brothers and sisters, those that still do it, they go out and they do their vision quest and prayer quest, and they do the sweat lodges. So do I. I love tradition.
Yeah.
And there's something that goes way beyond it.
Tradition, I think, grounds us.
So, it does, but try to tell that to a full-blood.
Yeah.
Tell it to a Christian. That's almost as bad.
Yeah.
But one-on-one, I'm trying to make people aware that it's a one-on-one relationship between you and the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And when people realize that, and that the great Creator wanted you, not just us, but you personally, that he wanted you, and he wants you to walk hand-in-hand with him. And when you learn this, actually learn it, experience it, then you learn what love is, agape love, you know, unconditional God love. And you learn to be in love with God because he loves you just the way you are. And
now
you learn to love your neighbor. And that spreads around until hopefully the whole world is back there where it belongs, not in where it's at.
Yeah, well, we're definitely at... Well, right now our world is, you know, full of hate, war, neighbor against neighbor. And we're it seems like the groups are separated, you know, the whites against the blacks against the whites, and then, of course, the Indians or the Native American against the whites, and then the whites against, and it goes on and on and on and on, and then you got your west against the east, and what we need to do is, like you said, we have to pull it all back together as one, where we love everyone. And Shirley MacLaine has been pushing this ever since I can remember, that we have to fight the negativity with love. There's no other way to do it.
Not only that, though, you cannot fight it with your love. You have to know the Creator and fight it with his love.
Yeah.
It's impossible to say, I will love my enemy, and then have the enemy come over and kill your chicken. You're going to love him real quick.
Yeah, it's a difficult path to go.
But not impossible.
Not impossible. And we need to learn this because it's very important, because we have, like Blue Water says, some major problems ahead of us. Some very important trial, you may want to call it. Blue Water talks about it in his prophecies, and I noticed that you've even talked about Mount, or let's see, you had the prophecy of Mount Rainier that you feel is going to, that we should be watching for Mount Rainier.
Rainier.
And what is going to happen with Mount Rainier?
When it blows, and it will blow in the fall time, sometime just days, probably, certainly within a week or two before elk season in Washington State, or during, it will blow its top. Less than a fourth of the top will go straight up in the air, turn around, and that pointy, kind of blunted pointy top will return right back to the hole it was blown out of. And it will create another great lake like that. There's one in, I don't know, is it California or Oregon? What is it?
Crater Lake, Oregon.
Yeah. It will be just like that. But when it comes down, it will slam back into that hole and create great shock waves of air, compressed air, that will blow holes through. Oh, guys, I'm in Kittitas County, guys. I don't know, 140 miles away from Rainier, maybe more. It's right in that general area. And I've seen holes from a little as an inch to as much as many feet across, just blowing stones up like shrapnel. Not lava, but air compressed, blowing out of all, you know, cleaning out all the little cracks and crevices in the inner land, or inner earth below us, and just creating great housing. A lot of people going to get hurt.
But when do you think this is going to happen? You said in the fall, but do you predict
all
any?
I can tell you is it will be in the fall time, during or just prior to elk season in Washington State. The year, I do not know.
There's a lot of folks in the Salt Lake Valley that have all had the same vision that when this happens, it'll happen during the time when the hunters are in the field and they're wearing orange. That I know dozens and dozens of people that have all had that same vision.
Well, this is the first that I've heard of that.
Well, that would be elk season.
And it would be modern times.
Because I know, like the deer hunter, they all wear orange, and I would assume the elk hunters do it the same.
Yeah, it will be an amazing event. The only time that I have been given on a catastrophe, if you will, and all I can do is repeat what I'm told. I cannot verify that this is from the Creator, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Mount Sai, and down by North Bend, Washington, just between Seattle and Snoqualmie Pass, stopped me one day and wanted to talk to me as I was driving by in the freeway. So I pulled off and wanted to know what it had to tell me. Now, Mount Sai originally had blown up, and the top had landed right next to it. That's called Little Mount Sai. There's Big Mount and Little Mount. When the little one landed, it landed on a whole Indian nation, a small nation, killing them all. They're now the protectors of that area. But nevertheless, Mount Sai, Great Mount Sai, showed me lava oozing out of her westward side. And I say oozing, I did not say blown. And splitting this great pink rock as it did so. I say splitting it, like splitting a tooth in two. And then it blew up. Little Mount Sai blew up. It went straight up in the air, lift over the top of Big Mount Sai, which it stands right next to them, and came down in the same position that it left going up, but on the other side of the mountain. And then all hell breaks loose. Then comes this great volcanic eruption. Now, I didn't know anything about this stuff. And I was standing there talking with the mountain when a younger man came to me and said, "What are you doing?" And, well, you're going to be in my shoes, you're going to be in my shoes. and a white boy, and in his mid-20s, I would say. And I told him, my mom was talking to me, because, oh, what's it saying? And I told him. And he looked at me very silently, and he said, I don't know who you are. But I tell you this, my uncle has logged that mountain, Great Mountain Side, for many, many years. He's retired. And he told me there's caves all over that particular mountain, especially on the eastern side of it. And he said that there are times, you know, when he was younger, they didn't go in and out of the cave. But now, the sulfur is so bad in those caves, nobody dares go into
them. Poisonous gases, you mean?
He said, I think I believe you.
Poisonous gases, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So it's building up.
Yeah, and Mount Sai told me this. This is the Great Mount Sai. Now, it told me. If it's of the Creator or not, only time will tell. But it said that it would happen within 2.5 years. That was a little over a half year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fall period is very prominent in a lot of prophecies. There are quite a few prophecies among the folks in the Salt Lake Valley that say that when the invasion comes, it will come during a time when everybody's sitting down at a common meal together, and, you know, around Thanksgiving time, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and they're talking to people who are invaded. Now, like I said, there's numerous prophecies. Like this. And actually, the perfect time to invade us would be New Year's, because well, Randolph, you've been in the service. You know what it was like, you know, during Christmas and Thanksgiving are no big deal, but pretty much New Year's, a lot of folks are getting inebriated, isn't that right?
Yes, but you got to think, a lot of people are shooting guns in the air, too. That means they have them in hand.
Yeah.
I think Thanksgiving would be more appropriate.
A fellow in Germany that I ran across that did a statistical study of over 100 mystics in Europe, all talking about, including Nostradamus, all talking about when the Great War would start over there. And the majority of them agreed that it would happen in the fall. Of course, there's a biblical warning that says that pray that fear, you know, that it doesn't come in the winter. Well, you know, that's almost a hint that it probably will, as far as I'm concerned. So, but the fall time, whenever fall comes around, I start getting a bit nervous.
Well, we've already had something happen on September 11th.
Yeah.
No, that was in fall.
Well, I too have seen an invasion of the United States. 5 armies combined as one, going against the United States. They come in on the west coast into Puget Sound, but they really do a major movement into Washington State and coastal Oregon from the coastal areas themselves, not into the Sound so much. But, I mean, they make their initial move there and then eventually work in the Sound.
Well, Red Elk, you've been down on the Arizona border, I'm sure. And you know how that is down there. I mean, people come across there. I mean, that border is not watched. And I mean, well, it's been a while. Tell me, is it being watched now? Give me hope.
Oh, hope.
Yeah.
That's why who's watching it? I can't give you hope there. My guys, I, for the first time in my life, just this last summer, I was coming back, and I think it was Arizona, Nevada, one of those four corner states. It wasn't New Mexico. But then again, it might have been moving from New Mexico either in one or the other. But there was a great big, right on the main highway, was a great lit building. And danged if it wasn't border guards in our state, between states.
Yes, but when you, but when was last when you were down on the border of Arizona and Mexico? Because I know that the ranchers down there are complaining that there is just not enough people down there to watch the borders, and the ranchers are basically, from what I understand, patrolling the area.
Well, on the actual Arizona-Mexico border, I have never been to it.
Oh, okay. Because we have a major problem of illegal aliens coming from Mexico into the United States. And if these illegal aliens are being able to get across, then that means terrorists can come across just as easy.
Yes, and I tell you true. Yeah, I've heard on Hart Bell show that supposedly Chinese people are shooting across the border at ours and stuff. Is it true?
I haven't heard that.
I haven't personally seen it physically, but I have seen it in spirit.
Yeah, I haven't seen that at all. But I do know that we definitely have a problem with our borders down there in Mexico and Arizona.
Well, frankly,
because we have rent.
People, do you want to be part of the United States and make a mistake?
Yeah. Well, we have ranchers down there that say that they can't even leave their homes because they're afraid that if they leave their homes when they come back, their homes will be vandalized, things stolen, you know, from people coming across. We have ranchers down there that their fence posts are being used for firewood.
Oh, yes, I hear all of this.
Yeah, so, I mean, if that's the case, then we cannot be monitoring the tourist activity as much as we, you know, the government would like for us to think so.
We'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony. So it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
I agree, and frankly, I think, now this is a personal opinion, I think that the government's allowing this. They are not supporting our border guards. They're not getting a whole lot more. They're not putting them where they belong.
No.
They're letting them slip through their fingers like it's meant to be. I think that there is some dirty work going on.
Well, some of the ranchers, they've got some Mexican activists down there that are actually suing the ranchers in U.S. courts for taking action against the illegal aliens as they cross over the border. You know, interfering with them.
Yeah, and then you hear about the Mexicans all getting together to vote that this state and that state belongs to Mexico. You know, we'd won a war, and then the truth of the matter is that after we won these places, we paid for it in cash.
Yeah.
As far as I know, it's the only time that has ever happened, ever.
Yeah. Well, I'm just you know, like I said, if you're saying that the United States could be invaded, I think that it could very easily happen, and because I don't know how it is in Canada, and I do know that as far as naturally the airports are concerned, that is heavily monitored. But I mean, face it, if somebody's going to be coming through to do damage, they're not going to be going through the airports. you know, they're going to be coming right up through the they're coming right up through South America into Mexico and up across the border into Arizona or Texas.
Allow me to finish what I've seen of the five combined armies under one. They come in on the west coast, Oregon and Washington State, more than California. And at the same time, through the Gulf of Mexico, they come up that way. And at the same time on the east coast is attacked. You know, D.C. and stuff like that. Now, our money base and our government base is on the east coast. So we start piling up all our soldiers there to fight off this invasion, which is weakening their backs and their sides.
Sure.
And I see these that are coming up through Texas and probably Mexico. I saw them in J.C. Texas. It wouldn't surprise me if they're withdrawing from Mexico, too, but working their way up to Washington State area and then turning towards the east and catching our soldiers who have been called over there, you know, help save our rear, good old government, you know, and who are successfully keeping the East Coast invasion at bay. But until these people come in from the back. And then I see great throngs of Americans, great throngs, going up to Minnesota. And that's where our refugees will be. And there I see great wars, murders, and killings, and beatings over trickles of water. Because then water becomes almost, you know, life itself. And I only see this in Minnesota. But at the same time, hear me. Somewhere along the line, I have actually witnessed the great hand of the Creator, bigger than the United States, come down three times and smite our land, the enemies on our land, three times. Don't know what that's about. But at the end of the third time, I saw every soldier possible, every enemy of the United States possible that could possibly do it, grabbing bicycles, trucks, buses, anything they could to get off our land completely. And they leave it. And but I see right after, our land isn't that big anymore. It's more water than it is land. We become a rather small nation compared to what we are land-wise now. But the Creator, I think what is happening is all of this turmoil has brought many people to their knees and pray in prayer. And He answers the prayer, and He gets them off our back. Now, meanwhile, my time this early summer, late spring, I was with the Green Nation and one of their bands had a has to come up and speak, and very honorable. I'm very honored by their request. And, but nevertheless, I had many people come to me. An amazing amount of people coming to me and asking if I interpret dreams, which I do if I have to. You know, I got better things to do than that. But nevertheless, all the dreams are identical. It might have involved different animals. Some would see buffalo, some would see horses, some would see this or that. But they were all doing the same thing. They were running from our border into Canada, and the people were taking fight and running before them toward the Arctic area. And what that represents is bleed over of these foreign armies going into Canada. Not us invading, not USA invading, but bleed over of the foreign army invading into Canada. So it looks like at least on the west coast, Canada, you know, west coast to the coast of the middle, maybe even the middle of Canada, are going to have an invasion problem too.
Well, maybe we shouldn't be looking at an invasion coming from outside our countries. Maybe it's an internal invasion.
Infiltration.
The Creator told me when he was telling me all this thing, he said that let me see if I can quote him. Hold on just a moment. Hang on, there's something recorded.
Oh, okay, no problem. Blue Otter and I can talk, okay?
Sure.
Until you get back. And we're talking with Red Elk, and he is the guest of Blue Otter and our show Prophecy Keepers that you can find at burlingtonnews.net/prophecykeepersshow. And I guess you got a pretty big lineup all the way through the month. Well, geez, all for the next 3 months, haven't you?
Yep, we've got a pretty good lineup here. Next week we have Joshua Shapiro, the famous Crystal Skull Explorer fellow from www.crystalskullexplorers.com. And he's traveled worldwide and assembled a vast collection of crystal skulls, and is just going to be coming out in the next couple of days with his new e-book, which is 500 pages and absolutely will astound folks. And then the week after that, Ed McGaugh, who flew 104 missions over Vietnam after Frank Fools Crow told him that he would face the enemy over 100 times and it would not be harmed. There's a lot of holes in his ship and his F-4, and they shot one of his engines off, and Ed can remember seeing the Cyrillic, CCCP, which is, that was the USSR. He remembers seeing the missiles, going past his canopy. But he's written a whole bunch of books on Native American spirituality, and he's a Sioux Indian. He'll be on the following week. It'll be the first week of March. Second week of March, we have Ron Pastore.
I'm looking forward to that one because I'm interested in the mountain matrix.
Oh, yeah. What Ron discovered was that he did a survey of all the mounds in North Central America, and he got it in his head that he would draw computer lines between areas that had seven or more mounds, and he discovered that there was a perfect five-point star, and he'll be talking about that. Elder Hunbot's men declared his website to be a Mayan mystery school.
Uh-huh.
And somewhere in there we're going to have to... Red Elk pointed out that I haven't had any women guests, so I have to do a little bit of rescheduling. But we need to have Nagi Jones on sometime soon. She's a Wolf clan mother, a member of the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, and a personal friend of mine. And also I'd like to get the author of Red Hat Speaks, who was the fine lady who worked with Red Hat for 10 or 11 years and was adopted into the Wolf Clan of the Cherokee Nation, and a wonderful lady by the name of Dorothy Daigle. And then around the vernal equinox, we'll have Chief Bill Chance back to talk about spring totemism ceremonies.
Yes, he's going to be a regular on our show.
Exactly. And somewhere in there, we'll have the Cherokee Dr. Clifford Alford. He's the medicine chief North America for the 65,000-year-old Asagasita Society. And then he works closely with Mark Amaru Pinkham from www.serpentsofwisdom.com.
That'll be a good show.
Exactly. And they'll be speaking about ancient spirituality. And looks like the 5th of March, we'll have Richard Bauman coming on to speak about ancient Native American records. And after him, Lee Standing Bear from Manataka.org. And that'll be a good lineup. The dates may change slightly, but that's the lineup. I did want to point out, when Grandfather Reddock was talking about the invasion, some of you folks might remember a movie from the 1980s called Red Dawn.
I was thinking about that when Red Elk was talking.
And that movie, Mr. Directed Red Dawn, was John Milius. And John Milius actually used a very likely Pentagon scenario in making that movie. And one of the things that that the movie pointed out was that it would be very, very easy to... the scenario was set up because of food shortages. And of course, this we know now that with the since the importation by accident or design of wheat rust, which is a fungus, and Bishop Coyle, the fellow who was very much persecuted by the general authorities of the Mormon Church, said that the year the United States government fell, that the wheat crop would be 25% of normal. The year after, it would be 50% of normal. And then the following 2 years would see it completely obliterated. So we're going to have famine in America. And, of course, that would set up the... of course, with the Gulf Stream shutting down, according to the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, that's going to cause major weather problems in Europe. So they're going to be there's probably going to be a lot of problems over there too. The entire world's going to be in commotion because of water and food shortages.
Well, you know, speaking about that, the Y2K was a great dry run, and you know what I learned from that? I learned that. Like with us, we turned around it just like many others did. We stocked ourselves with canned foods and different things like that. You know, the wheat, you know, barley, and now I notice now this is 2004, and all the canned food that I purchased is bad.
Yeah, you have to rotate. You have to learn how to rotate food. The other thing you need to do...
What I suggest is people turn around and they learn how to go back to the old ways and can the food themselves using the glass jars, because the food that's in these tin cans, they do not last that long.
Yeah, the other thing people need to know about is that if we go under martial law, they will come and collect food. It won't be legal for you to have more than a couple of weeks' food. They'll be collecting anything that has the original wrappers on it. So if you have canned goods or whatever, you may want to recan it in glass or take the wrappers off of it. And write code or whatever on the cans and get the largest cans possible. I recommend everybody knows who Billy Casper is, the famous golfer.
Yeah.
Billy Casper was a landlord of mine when I was going to school. And his mother-in-law was a Snohomish Indian, and she and her husband, they bought all their food freeze-dried,
yeah.
And they learned how to rotate it, and they ate, number one, they ate cheaper, and then they ate better.
Yeah, I think freeze-dried is the best way to do.
You got to learn how to rotate it, though.
Mm-hmm.
But the Red Dawn scenario, with infiltrators coming up from through Mexico, is very, very possible. George Washington said that when it happens, we'll be attacked from all four directions.
Yeah.
And it's going to come at a time when we're very weak here in this country, and once the Earth changes start, and the Earth changes will be signaled. According to one lady, had a vision back in the 30s, the Mount Rainier will signal.
Well, that's why I was asking Red Elk about Mount Rainier.
But she said prior to that that the last world war would be between the so-called followers of Mohammedism and the so-called followers of Christianity. And she used so-called very well because, nobody's following their religion very well.
Yeah, that's true.
May I inject, please?
You betcha. You're the guest tonight. You just interject as much as you want.
I too have seen great famine throughout the United States. So much that this is probably symbolic. That's all I can say, probably. I've seen freight cars loaded with bodies, draped in black crepe, brought to the Badlands. And the bodies dumped there from the East Coast, from the eastern parts of the United States. No time to dig graves. They just piled them in boxcars and dumped them and filling up.
Red Elk, do you remember years back someone saying that they had seen these railroad cars being made? And for the purpose of, and he said what they were the death cars that were to be be used later in the future?
I have a personal friend who used to work at Hill Air Force Base in Austin, and he noticed a bunch of these UN, you know, colored, you know, the blue box cars. He looked in them, and they had several hundred sets of shackles coming down from the roof and from and on the floor.
Yeah. And no one knows about this, but I had read something years back on these death cars. I call them death cars because basically that's what they're doing, is they're loading people up and taking them someplace, and you know, and I would think that that's what it's going to be, is a concentration camps or someplace like Red Elk starts.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of WiseFoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from WiseFoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed, and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year supply from WiseFoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
But have you heard, so you have seen, you do know about these in Blue Water?
About 5 years, maybe closer to 6 years. In the town that we just moved from, we're 8.5 miles from this town now. Railroad tracks, just a few hundred feet from our house. And at night, we had what I call stealth trains go by. Now, these trains are supposed to make a little toot when they approach a crossing, and these trains never did. Now, I watched freight train after freight train go by that toot, and rattle and roll and make a clatter and a big noise. But these stealth trains are something else.
They're called stealth trains?
I called them stealth.
Really?
No noise. And it was like they had the best of axles and the best of bearings in them and the best of grease, and they were moving.
Wow.
And this would go on 3 times a night, and they were all freight cars, just freight cars with no markings.
You know where they're headed?
Oh, yes.
Probably headed up to Fort Lewis.
No.
Where are they headed?
Between Seattle and Bellingham.
What we should do is get something on our sites about that, because I'm sure that our listeners are going to be very interested in these trains.
Trains, yes.
Yeah.
Also, I had, at the time, a CIA agent friend that was trying to get out of the company. And this friend, I will not give names naturally, but had informed me, this friend would call me and say, expect X amount of freight cars, X amount of trains tonight, and at a certain time in my spot, 2 to 4. And they were coming, they were crossing from Oregon over one of the train bridges or something like that. Crosses from Oregon and Washington. And this friend had it right, you know, right on the money. Not all the time, because he didn't call me all the time.
Yeah.
But also, there's a freeway that, now I don't know if it's changed since, but at the time a friend of mine, I had a friend who called and talked to me. She was on a freeway in Seattle and saw a freeway and just out for a drive. And no signs or anything. She took off down that freeway and it was completely empty. Now this is a six-lane freeway, three sides. And then she said she drove for quite a while. And but there was not any traffic coming or going. And then she started seeing these boxes, like little kind of outhouses, you know, wooden outhouses, but they were metal. And eventually there was a linked fence, guarded fence, right across the freeway. And she braked and turned around and got the heck out of there. And these things are going on. I know of underground tunnels.
Yes, I was just going to...
I was killed on this.
I was just going to bring that up because, see, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, we're not seeing that much stuff going on, but they don't realize what's going on underground.
Well, let me tell you, I saw above ground back in 98.
Okay.
I lived, now, I don't know whether folks, I don't know whether they're aware or not, but the German Air Force has taken over one of the Air Force bases in Arizona someplace, I can't remember where. But, you know, from time to time I see busloads of those guys.
I know that they're Russian. There's Russian down there in Arizona, too.
And one day I was traveling between, I was south of Moab, Utah, headed home, about 22 miles south of where I live. And, now, you know, being a former military officer, I happen to know what a Scud missile and its launcher looks like. A Scud missile and its launcher on a flatbed truck headed south, 7 miles out of Moab, Utah, you know, with the Russian green with a great big red star on the fin. I couldn't believe it.
Well, then we got all those, we got all these empty prisons sitting around, too.
Well,
you know, that were built for...
You went about the empty prisons.
Yeah.
You ought to see what's underground that's been carved out.
Okay, well, why don't you tell us...
Empty prisons for
you. Oh, yeah, underground prisons.
Oh, so, okay, tell us now, that we've taken care of the surface, take us underground, Red Elk.
Well, underground is, we're part of underground. It's immediately under our feet, immediately, you know, just tops 2 miles. There's various tunnels that are being built and are built, and many that have been built. It kind of goes deeper down, too, comes up and down, but these are ancient ones. These tunnels that, are being built in eastern Washington. There's five that are right here in my general area and between the Inspo camps. And two of these tunnels, like I said, I can get killed with some of this information I'm telling you. I probably could.
Yeah.
But because it's...
But we'll protect you, won't we, Blue?
You and me both, buddy.
If people don't come out and tell some true things, you know, everybody is going to be taken by surprise. So.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're all about, is we're trying to get this information out to save the people.
Well, between the Yakima Fire Base and Fort Lewis, they had one tunnel for quite a while, but it grew too narrow, so they built another adjoining tunnel. Every 1.25 miles, they have an exhaust hole through the land.
Mm-hmm.
Fort Lewis, or I take that back. I think it's McCord Air Force. It might have been both, if I can't recall right now. But and since they have traffic going towards the west coast and in one tunnel, and towards the going east towards the other one, back and forth. So we see convoys here of people going to the Yakima firing base to train. That's what we see on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
What we don't see is what really matters. They even have escape tunnels in case something happens. They have to walk out, and some of these walks are quite long, but they can make it out. And some of these, I'm just being told not to tell, so I'm not going to tell.
I have listeners, for anyone that wants to know about these tunnels, I do have a site, www.burlingtonnews.net. tunnel. And on the first page, you'll see one of these tunnel boring machines that they use to make these tunnels.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Rod Steiger wrote to me one day. We got to writing back and forth, and then he thought it was some kind of a nut, I guess.
But the actor?
No, no. It, guy's got a lot of books out.
Yeah.
Paranormal type things and stuff.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
And anyway, he sent me one of his books, and there was a little stickum, one of those yellow stickum. So the page automatically flew to that when I opened it. And I didn't read the note on it. I saw the picture, and I thought, and I will quote myself, forgive me, I thought, what the hell are they doing with a worm in this picture? And then I saw the note, and he said, do you have any idea what this is? Well, yes, it was a worm, an earth-boring machine, but not brought by the United States or any other country. It was brought from other ships in three pieces. It was enormous.
Yeah.
I told him, if you have pictures of the writing on that worm, you know, forward, reverse, left, or right, there's a good chance that I could tell you exactly what that writing is. And he wrote back that this was uncovered in a tunnel making thing, I guess government or miners or something, and exposed us. It was hidden way underground, and they came across this by accident. The wall caved in, and then they buried it back up.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even of our world, you know. It was literally brought. It was so big. It was brought in three ships and put together and to make tunnels. Now, as for tunnels, the most interesting thing that I have seen and I have learned about by people who see it, right, is what I call the glass tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
These heat, the dirt and stuff as they bore.
Mm-hmm.
So the tunnels are kind of cemented by its own earth, heated.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making them all over.
Yeah.
No, hold, please. Canada, by some of their big lakes and stuff, they're boring right alongside the lake.
Yeah,
they're boring down through the United States into the Four Corners area in California. And there they have enormous, unbelievably enormous caverns down there. And they are going to pull the plug and drain the waters from the lakes and say, it's the weather conditions have created this great water shortage. And what they're doing is making everybody to go to these certain areas so they can have water and be controlled.
Yeah, I've heard them. Yeah.
That'll be hard to do going here in the Ozarks because we've got, within 100 miles of here, they have 14 of the 15 largest springs in the world. It's amazing. They have springs here that put out millions of gallons of water a day, so I don't know how they have a tough time controlling that.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't. They might at the moment, but you just give them time.
Yeah.
They're going to take our water, blame it on the weather, and a lot of it can be blamed on the weather. A lot of it can be blamed on HARP. But the real thing is all the activity is taking place underground. In Canada, there are cars with certain license plate numbers. Some of them are engineers, and you can see by their license plate, oh, an engineer or an electrician, and et cetera, that are coming into certain areas of Canada. And, my gosh, it's just amazing activity. And they're not crossing the border either, a lot of them. They're coming in from underground.
Yeah.
Well, I was telling Mary a couple weeks ago about the film news crew was up in Canada some years ago, and this report made it onto the BBC at lunchtime, but didn't make the evening news. apparently a news crew spotted a bunch of Soviet troops and went and asked them what they were doing, and they said, oh, we're preparing for the future invasion of America. Well, you know, the Soviets are, they're just as good as underground, you know, underground technology as anybody is. The Japanese, you know, they've got a tunnel clear from, you know, underneath the ocean from
where
one island to another.
What is that called in England, the channel or tunnel or whatever?
Oh, yeah, they got the English channel. That's old technology. I mean, that's, you know, they can go into the thing. Hey, go under the Bering Strait very easily.
Yeah, not only can go, but they are going. There
oh, I'm sure
are
they are.
Tunnels, ancient tunnels between us and Russia. Ancient.
Well, actually, we can take these tunnels all the way back to Atlanta.
Well, there are tunnels that go from America to Europe,
uh-huh.
Africa. You'd be surprised what's under there.
Yeah.
These are really ancient ones.
Yeah. Well, we have our ancient tunnels and underground cities, and then we have the world elite building even more, and these tunnels are connecting to these ancient cities that they found underground.
Some of them that they found.
Some of them that they found, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, right now everybody's probably scared to death, and I want to let folks to know that we would not cause them concern without offering them a solution.
Amen.
And if you'll go to prophecykeepers.com or do a web search for Native Prophecy and get onto my website, you can download, there's two e-books there that total about 500 pages. One of them is called All Things Common. And I call it my recipe for divine intervention on demand. Because you know, we have enough historical evidence to show and scriptural promises that if you live a certain way, and this is the way you know that Native folk lived before white people got here, but I'm talking about going way way back before the Native folk broke into small tribes. We were all living together in peace. We're all living together with one, all things common, our lands in common. And there is a recipe for how to do this, and you can achieve divine intervention. But it takes a little bit of effort, and I encourage folks to go take a look at that. We also publish a CD-ROM that has all of my prophecy ebooks on it, and that's on the website. And for folks that aren't on the internet, you can, of course, we talk quite a bit about the Mayan prophecy, which is coming up in December 2012. So the toll-free number for ordering the CD is 877-412-2012. 877-412-2012. That's toll-free, U.S. and most of Canada. And from anywhere else in the world, they can call 206-984-2286. Let me repeat it one time. 206-984-2286. And they can leave their information there. The money will be used for further prophecy research, and the mandate that we have from the elders is that all these prophecies need to be put in one place and translated into all possible languages. And folks, we really need your patronage on this. This is an urgent life-saving effort that we're doing, and now we'll get back to Grandfather Red Elk.
We'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Okay. I'd like to add to that, if it's all right.
I'm going to let you guys talk for a second, and I'll be right back. So if you don't hear my voice, I'll be right back.
Go ahead and tell them about your teaching, audio teaching.
Well, first off, my forum, it's in two pieces. One is a free, you get on, chat with each other back and forth, and if it gets really out of hand, I try to stop it, and if this whoever is out of hand that won't stop, then I eliminate it. I do guard my forum. It's my right. I pay for it. And then I have the premium forum, which costs $22 for 6 months. There you will learn how to protect yourself quickly and how to protect your others, you know, your friends. There is certainly hope. I mean, we speak of fearful things here. And these things will be, we can stop it if, as 85 to 87% of the world population, hear me, the world population, will just turn around and get right with the Creator, we can stop this. It'll happen eventually, somewhere down the line, but not for us. And it doesn't look like it's going to take place. So these things are rolling on. But still, there's hope. It's more than fear. We're trying to make you aware we're in some really rough times because of our own stupidity. And it's time to learn that there is hope. And you can learn that on Duwater's site, or you can learn it on my forum. And Mr. Duwater has mentioned my lessons. I sell lessons. Yes, I sell lessons. And I get a lot of people who go to Matt saying, you're no medicine man. How come you're giving away the medicine secret? And I reply to them, if I'm not a medicine man, how do I know the secret? And to be honest with you, you can get them for free if you knew how. You don't. And you're paying me to do your homework. If you want to learn to levitate, to become invisible, to do numerous things. You can learn how just by buying one of my tapes, or some of them I got in writing a little cheaper. But that's up to you. I'm not telling you to do this.
And folks, I want you to know that Grandfather Reddo needs your support.
Thank you, but let's leave that to name Creator.
Yeah, they need to listen to Creator on this. But you know, bandwidth is not free. And, you know, and Grandfather Red Elk does this as his, he doesn't do anything else, folks, and it's not cheap. He has to travel.
Let's put it this way. At this time today, I had to throw a plea up to the Creator and said, sir, if things don't change between this Monday and next Monday, it's time to take my website completely off. Quit selling anything and just let it go. And I'll keep the form. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I've had many people who I got over 11,000 people, or I don't know, 100 and some thousand people that have hit my website. And the form, well, let's put it this way, I'm not rich. I've got, I think, 76 cents in my pocket, and under $4 in my bank account. And people think I'm making money hand over fist. I'm not.
And my family, we have $20 to last us between now and the first of the month. So, you know, we have to live by faith in order to deliver this to you folks. It works the same way for us as it does for any other religious activity. And,
well, any job. People get it, you know. They expect to get paid to go out and flop over hamburgers or be a doctor or a mechanic or a factory worker. Every 40 hours, they expect to see a paycheck. And believe me, if you're like I am, Blue Otter, you're not making enough to pay all your bills.
No, absolutely not. You know, it says in the Bible, the laborer is worthy of his hire. And, you know, back in the old days when Paul was on his missionary journeys, you know, he was able to be a tent maker. And, but, you know, times have changed. My teacher, Rolling Thunder, back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, there was an unwritten law that medicine people, that they couldn't sell anything, but they could accept gifts. And
unfortunately, today, I have watched a number of medicine people do what we call lay down their feathers, quit.
Yeah, they have to.
Because people come up and say, thank you. And I tell you, that's real nice to send a thank you as payment on a bill you owe.
Yeah.
See how long that lasts.
Yeah, it's just the system's not working anymore. And I know Grandfather Rome Thunder literally, you know, he killed himself working on the radio. He would go out and work on the railroad for a couple of weeks and come home and do medicine work. And just, you know, and Matt Bear Anderson killed himself by taking diabetes and a lot of other problems that folks had onto himself, and it killed him. You know, Graham is making all the sacrifices. I don't make near the sacrifices he does because I'm not required to at this time. But anyway, folks, we need your patronage.
We need your prayers.
And well, absolutely. But we're trying to save your life and the lives of a lot of folks in the world that, you know, most people they're not interested in hearing. So we're out there crying in the wilderness.
Right now, I feel that I am not working for the people that are listening to this. I'm working for the future children. That those who learn from these talks like this and others, other prophecies, etc., and get right with the Creator, they can pass on that knowledge to their child, their grandchild. Those are the ones that will make it through and be the few left to start over again. So if only one person in the whole world learns and survives, that one will be able to teach, and with fewer left, will be able to learn.
Well, that's why the Native Americans are so important to us right now, and that is why I contacted Blue Otter and says, hey, let's put together a Native American site, a radio program, where Native Americans can come together and get their word out, because there really is nothing out there that offers what the UFO radio offers. You know,
no, there's not a show like this anywhere. This is Native American paranormal. This is very specialized, but we have a lot of wisdom to pass on to folks.
Yeah, and
I would call it paranormal. To us, it's normal.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, preparing me. You know, para means. That just means preparing for. So we're preparing people. We're preparing people for a normal spiritual experience.
One that they are long overdue for.
And we're educating. You know, there's entertainment in it, but the thing is, mostly it's for educating the people. And it's the first time that the Native American has actually been able to pull together and be able to share their information with the European type that lives here in the United States and around the world. You know,
well, I pray.
And I shouldn't just go European type. No, we have people that listen to us in Africa and in China, and we have people in Croatia. You know, we have them all over the world that's listening to this radio show. I mean, it's not limited to what here in the United States. We have people in Czechoslovakia that listens to the UFO. You know, we have them from all over the world, and so. You know, and so we need, and they're interested not only in their cultures, but they're interested in what the Native American has to say as well. You know, I guess that's what I'm trying to say, in a roundabout way.
Is this the first time this particular show has been on?
the UFO or you're the, our second guest, right, Blue Water?
That's right. You
the Chief Chance.
Yeah. Interviewed me a couple 3 weeks ago. Then we had Chief Chance last week and Grandfather Red Elk.
See, I had Blue Otter on, and I was so impressed with how much he was willing to share as far as, you know, the stories of the Native American as well as, you know, medicine, prophecy, you know. So I contacted him back, and I said, hey, Blue Otter, I says, why don't we put together a show called Prophecy Keepers? And I says, and if you can get, you know, some of your friends out there to join with us, I think that we can use this program to touch a lot of people.
Yeah, what did it take me, a week to come up with 12 premier guests?
Yeah,
you know,
and
just the beginning.
Yeah, and we do this every week, and the show runs between 2 and 3 hours. And then it's played here in the United States, well, here through BUFO, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Plus, it gets aired, live streams, through our syndicated, show in London, England, through Pioneer Radio. And then we have, some other people that are talking about syndicating, BUFO, so.
Now, is it syndicated on the internet or is it broadcast?
The one in Pioneer Radio that's syndicated through internet is
right.
Live stream. And that's going to be coming soon. Well, it's going to be open where people will be able to call us up and ask questions.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I would like to say something, and it reflects many of my school buds. And it's not intended to slap. It's intended to make you aware, these school buds. The Indian Nation, the First Nation people, the Creator has given us, as well as other from other nations, what do they call it, indigenous? What is the word?
Indigenous
people. Great knowledge, great sacred knowledge. Africa, Atlas, Indians of America and South America, etc. Even in Russia.
Australia.
Yes, oh, yes, indeed. Yes.
Well, we have a lot of listeners from Australia.
But nevertheless, he had entrusted us, all of the indigenous people, however you say it, with a special knowledge for this time, this particular time in the world history. And unfortunately, due to the way that the indigenous, whatever, people have been treated by the rest of the so-called civilized world, we have resented them. And we are holding and hoarding much sacred knowledge that we don't want to tell to help save all people.
Yes.
Therefore, as the Hebrews were turned down the knowledge of the film, the Creator turned around and gave that knowledge to the Gentiles. Now that knowledge, because of the hoarding, because of the resentment, because of the word mitakbiyawashin, one relation, that they do not really need, just the word. He is turning around and giving this knowledge to the half-breeds.
That's right. The full bloods aren't taking care of business, Grandfather.
I'm ashamed to have to say it, and I know I'm going to get many.
No, you know, Ed McGaugh's going to say the same thing when he comes on, and he'll make the point. He'll make it a lot finer than you're making it. He'll come right out and, you know, tell you how the county
gets.
And see, that's just why this show is so important, Red Elk, is because we are the first and only that I know of out there that is incorporating all of you together on one station every week to get the word out.
Well, this is good.
Yeah?
This is good. Now, Chief Looking Horse is quite ill, I understand. He no longer has his website on. And this is one traditional Indian.
Arbor Looking Horse?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ed knows his sister pretty well, and he can find out what's going on.
Hmm?
Ed McGaw knows his sister has his sister's phone number and can find out what's going on.
Yeah, I'd like to know. I think he needs prayer. But I tell you, the guy has put out his life trying to wake up his people. And he, like me, has been threatened and everything else from what I understand.
Oh, man.
Just one fight after the other. These renegade so-called Metakwiawajin, one religion, Hoobas, are so angry because we share with the world the way we are told to share, the reason we are told, the secrets that we are told. And now is the time to open it up.
And you know,
this poor gentleman has been trying, and he has been whipped, slapped, beat, you know, mentally, until it's just drugging down.
And you know, the thing is, Red L, the people, the Native American, they blame the white. The blacks blame the white.
They can only blame themselves.
But the thing is, people are not realizing one thing. During the starting of the kingship line, which goes all the way back to Noah, or actually back to Adam or Cain and Abel, okay, right at that very point, there was a separation of the human race. One was an elite factor. They were called the Shepherd Kings, and now they're called the Illuminati. But these people are the ones that are responsible for the extermination of so many of the people, of the Native Americans, slavery of the blacks. Yes, they are the ones. It's not the white people. It is the elite factor of the white people. It is the elite factor of the Native American. It is the elite factor of the blacks. It is the elite factor of the Chinese. And it goes on and on and on. But there's
people in America.
And then what they do is they try to make the people think that it is not the elite factor. It is all of us. Well, no, it's not all of us. It is the elite factor. Those are the people's enemy. And the Native American, the people of the Native American, the people of the blacks, the people of the Europeans, the people of the Chinese, they all have to come together as one, share the information, get the knowledge out, so that they can turn around and see the enemy for what it is.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
The enemy is the kingship line that was started back in the day of Cain.
Well,
and
just a little more on this. You know, the Hebrew people, their mistake, where their trouble began, was when they asked the Creator who led them all for a human being king.
Exactly.
But there you go. There you go again. It was the God slash human king. This was the kingship line.
That's,
you know,
right.
and they have convinced.
What I'm saying, honey, is individually, we can have the God king. We don't have to obey we have to be up to a point, but our king can be the creator himself.
Exactly.
Traded.
But the thing is, Red Hope, they have convinced us that that we find that God in a Christian church, we find that God in a Catholic church, we find that God in a Methodist church, we find that God in Mormonism, we find him in New Age, you know. We find him every place but where he actually is.
That's right. And I tell you true, I tell all your listeners true, that the Bible, for instance, was never meant to be a religion.
No.
It was a series of letters from that to you, individually you, to pay attention to have a good life.
Yeah.
Things to do and not to do. And examples showing that if you follow me, here's what happens. And if you disobey, I'm going to warn you and warn you and warn you. And finally, if you're not going to listen, I'm going to really tattle your rear.
Yeah.
And people say he's a vengeful God. Mm-hmm. Are they crazy? This is a wonderful, loving God that warns and warns and warns. And they won't listen. So he keeps his word. If you don't do it, you're going to get
it. But it is man that has convinced all of us that the Creator went directly to them, the prophets, to give the word, which they wrote down and translated to us.
The people have given up their sovereignty to these middlemen. It's happened in every religion. We don't need priests. We don't need kings. We are, well,
we are the temple.
That's exactly right. There's no need for a temple. We can have Creator tell us exactly what we need to be doing.
Right.
He does with me, and I disobey occasionally, you know. But like we were talking a while ago about tunnels, and I started to tell you about something, and I was told, and I said, oh, I'm told not to tell, so I'm not going. That's the kind of relationship everybody can have. You can listen instantly to what Dad's telling you and warning you about.
Yeah.
If you obey, you're going to be all right. If you don't, you're going to find yourself in trouble. And I didn't need a preacher to come and knock on my door and tell me what to do. Don't do that.
But, see, they have everyone against each other.
That's right.
The elite sector, the kingship line, the king line, the royal bloods, the blue bloods, you know, they create all these different types of religions, but as all these religions are created, the founders of these religions, these leaders, if you group them all together, they're the same person. They're the same group.
Well, and they are very subtle, led by a very subtle and very stealthy being.
Yes.
That is a living being, Lucifer.
Yes.
They are not aware that the ones that I have personal contact, understand this, please, with aliens, personal, physical contact. And the ones that I have in contact with of the Unholy Four, I talk about in a book that I sell called The Agenda. I'm not here to sell the book, I'm just telling you I talk about it. And anyway, they don't believe in God. They don't believe in Lucifer. They believe they are God. And if there is a Lucifer, they're God. They can do whatever they dang well please. This is Lucifer's trick to them.
Yeah.
He has tricked them. And they, through Lucifer's trickery, are working in the Lucifer's hands. And, yeah. So you end up with your kingship and these half-hearted lizards.
And what it is, basically, is a control factor. All it is to control, is to herd the sheep and make sure that they stay in line. And
the one greatest way of controlling, now despite how we're talking here on this show, is fear. That is the greatest thing.
And, yes, but if you give knowledge to the people, they will not fear.
That's right.
Because they fear the unknown. Well, that's what we're doing, Red Elk, is we're going to we're going to make it our job to get this information out to the people. You know?
Well, I can attest to what you're saying, Mary, because I personally know a group of people that are an Indian tribe. They're small. They're not recognized by the federal government, but they are a traditional group of people. They were offered several million dollars to buy several thousand acres of land, and they were even given dreams. Their clan mother, and Cherokee Way Wolf clan does everything first. She dreamed that she was plowing ground, and that blood came up out of the ground. There was no violence involved, and she had forgotten, you know, her lessons about how to interpret dreams, and didn't understand that, you know,
Now, we talked about the prophecies, okay, but I know that people are going to say, okay, well, we got prophecies here, but give us some meat.
Well,
tell us, if all this stuff is going to happen, where are we going? Where are the safety zones?
It's like I was saying about this one group that I know of that was offered, millions of dollars, 1,000 acres of land. You know, you can't let fear get in the way. Number one, Grandfather Reddick will tell folks you have to be absolutely fearless. You have nothing to fear whatsoever. You have a right to have Creator speak directly to you in your sleep, especially. Listen, before you go to sleep, ask that just speak to him like you would your own close friend and say, Dad.
Well, I actually do that. Before I go to bed, I say, please give me wisdom. And then I go to sleep, and I just wait to find out in the next day something new will come my way. Or I'll wake up with, this is what I need to be checking out. But it's true. And then, of course, we actually, when we do go to sleep, our spirit does leave our body, and we're able to travel through the different dimensions and find out for ourselves actually what's going on. We can go to the great libraries or to speak to some of the our forefathers or whoever, I don't know exactly what happens when we do travel, but I do know for sure that we do and when we come back with that knowledge.
Redock said he accidentally got cut off, so I'll give him a call.
Oh, okay.
Urgent, accidentally cut us off, called the attack.
Oh, alrighty, I can do that. And while I'm doing that, tell the listeners some of the safety places, please.
Well, safe places. Like I said, if you will start now and get your relationship going with Creator, when the time comes, now, see, I was promised years ago that when during a time of trouble,
I
got four phones.
Time of trouble in what?
Well, I was just saying that I was told that someday during a time of trouble that we would be shown a place that we would go that would be underground. And there's no reason why history is replete with people being told and warned. Now I would recommend number one, you need to get out of cities. If you're living in a city, you're just. It's a good place to be gathered together, to like the wheat and tares to be bundled and burned. You need to just suck it up, get out of cities, reduce your lifestyle, do whatever you need to do, but you need to get in a rural area someplace with water. I recommend about 700 feet sea level. I recommend several hundred miles from any large body of water, particularly an ocean. I recommend the center of the country because George Washington said that when the invasions happen, he said half the United States Army will be destroyed in the first hour. The other half will combine with populace. They will be driven back to the center of the country, and they will fight a war on three fronts. And just as we were ready to give up to oblivion, he saw that there was divine intervention, just as Red Elf describing. So the key is to get this direct relationship with the Creator and then not worry about it.
Okay, now I have heard that Illinois, there's a section in Illinois that's supposed to be a safety zone. I've also heard that there's someplace in Michigan that's a safety zone. Down in the Yucatan someplace, I have no idea where
the
safety zone.
Well, the Texas, the Ozarks, it kind of depends on, well, what do you
want? Red Elk, we're speaking about safety zones.
I'm going to have to disagree with, like, Michigan and Illinois. The Great Lakes are going to just wipe out Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, you think so?
A lot of Illinois.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know where they're getting their information, but those are two places I get the heck out of.
Really?
It depends on what.
Now, see, I have heard through Mormons that the Wisconsin-Illinois border was a safety zone.
Well, that's back then. I mean, you know, the information that you receive.
Well, they're talking about in the future.
Well, the information that gets received through Revelation is time valued. Now, most of the people that have the dreams about or revelations about the earth changes say that the Great Lakes will eventually, there'll be probably 100, the Mississippi River will be like 100 miles wide. And so, you know, you'd probably want to, you know, avoid anywhere between, I guess, Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, and also Illinois.
And the Columbia River.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
if you want to say, there's a lot of maps online about safe areas and.
Yes, but there's a lot of maps online that are not true.
Well, the introduction to, which is free, the introduction to My Prophecy Keepers, the trilogy, which is a free download, has got every map that you can imagine about the people have had described to them. You can compare them all. And then decide, you know, which, you know, where you want to go next.
Well, so now would the Four Corners area be a place right out?
Well,
to be honest with you,
yeah,
I have witnessed in spirit the Draconian race and the other three of the unholy that worked with them are migrating down to that area. I have gotten a lot of reports, a lot of emails asking. Boy, I'm really still glad to go down to this Four Corner State or that Four Corner State. And I'm wondering if they aren't controlled to go down. Man, I would clear out of those Four Corner States faster than a film. So, wow, as fast as I could.
I don't really trust the Four Corners areas because, you know, I'm from the Arizona area. And I know that Arizona and New Mexico, you know, at one point in time was so heavy with volcanoes.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm assuming that we may end up again having a volcanic action down there.
You have to worry about water.
Uh-huh.
One of the reasons why I'm in the Ozarks.
Yeah.
The Hopi Indians, and I believe the Navajo, maybe the Apache as well, have a lake called Blue Lake. It is very sacred to them. And so sacred that the leaders, the high elders and stuff, has put it out of, you know, you're not allowed to go there, except at special times and in special groups and stuff. And I have highly recommended that these people break their laws. If they're going to go and honor the spirits of the Blue Lake, that they do so. Break the dang laws set by their leaders, because soon it will be totally controlled by the U.S. government patrols, and you'll never get close to it.
Yeah. Well, if you've noticed, Red Elk, all these places, you know, like entrances to the tunnel systems where a person could go, you know, in case like there was a, let's say that there was like, pardon?
Now it's against the law to go into a tunnel.
Yeah, because like if there was like, let's say for it, God forbid, if there was some sort of a nuclear bomb explosion, or some even more elite type of bomb, like a thermonuclear bomb or something like that that goes off, or there was chemicals released in the air, a person would have to go underground for safety. But if you've ever noticed, all these major tunnel systems, these major, I mean, huge caverns that could actually be places of safety, every one of them has, like, some sort of a government facility sitting on top of them now. Or they're controlled by the park rangers.
not everyone. This is some of the sacred knowledge that certain other First Nation people know.
Ah, but now you're starting to understand why I wanted to put this show together, because we the people, not the elite, but the people of the human race, need the knowledge of the Native American as where these places may be, so that we also have a chance to survive.
Well, this is the problem that we're having with the Natives. They are hoarding this information, and frankly, most of the people know where these places are at. But the people that knew how to open the openings, are dead. Most of the people have long ago died. So the First Nation people are holding the knowledge of the place, but they don't know how to get into a rock wall, how to walk through it.
Yeah.
They don't know how to do the ceremony to make a kind of a tornado out of the land that opens up into two actual stairways that lead down 12, 15, 17 miles to an inner city that the whites haven't found yet.
Osio.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of WiseFoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from WiseFoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year supply from WiseFoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why?
And we do know that they exist because remember the story of Geronimo, how he was able to go into the Superstition Mountains and actually walk into the rock cliffs. And then the next thing you know, they would find him in New Mexico. And the soldiers, they would go where he was supposed to have disappeared in the rocks, and they could never find out. They could never figure out how he got in there.
Well, there are certain ceremonies, and then there are just certain you know how. Without the ceremony, you just keep walking. And then you go. Now, the Cree Nation of Canada, they asked me to come up to this giant Cree Nation meeting. I guess it's from the East Coast to the West Coast. It's not a band. It's all the band. And afterwards, they want me to go along and zigzag from the Arctic Circle, East Coast to the West Coast, Arctic Circle to the American border, back and forth, opening up these sites because they know I have that knowledge. I wouldn't know one site from another. They're going to take me to the site. I don't know how to open up, but I know how to get to the one that does.
Uh-huh.
And I have done this before. There are what we call rotten mountains, filled with tunnels and caves, escape places for the Crees. And for all the, our Indians down here, there's rotten mountains. And just filled. But they have to know how to get into them. They don't know how. Their people are dead. They've learned how. They've lost the knowledge and they claim they have the knowledge. There are very darn few that truly have the knowledge. And the ones that, as far as I'm aware of, the ones that do. They're slapping and hitting and kicking and screaming now.
Yeah.
And so they're going to die there, and they're going to die with their children in their arms just because of their stupidity. But the Cree Nation has started sending me letters. Here's this place, here's that place, come here, come there. I'm going to be gone, from what I understand, just over 2 months, traversing all of Canada, doing this. And I will not get all of them, because they're going to experiment, to test me, to see what I do do. It will be the second, maybe even the third time around before all of this is completed. And the Cree Nation are so, they don't rub shoulders with the whites because they're so far out there. The reservations are so enormous. Well, they see whites every day, probably, but not like our reservation. And so they retain a lot of their knowledge compared to our own people here in the States. And they know that now is the time. They know this. At the big Cree meeting I was at in the summer, they know this. And people started coming up to me. Do you know my sister? There are three mountains up in the Yukon area, up towards that area. Three mountains that have these, what is it when artifacts turn to stones, apes, and dinosaurs? What do they call that? You know, they turn...
Oh, geodes?
No. You know,
petrified.
Yeah. They have these three mountains with petrified logs.
Uh-huh.
And eggs in them. They are the eggs. I held one of the eggs. They are the eggs of the actual Thunderbird. And the Thunderbird...
Really?
Yes. And I've been asked to go back and call the Thunderbirds back to their original nesting ground. They are going to be flying from South America throughout the USA once a year to go up there and breed again. Up there on these mountains, there's one, possibly two, but there's one cave. It's called Bird Cave. And there is a thing to do with that bird cave that I will take people into. And we will learn all kinds of special, godly, good knowledge. And there is a staff that the Crees have in their protection that was before the world flipped the last time. It's a car staff. It came to shore. And they have been protecting. They didn't. All they knew was they were scared to death. They got a hold of me and asked me about it. And because of my connection with the Creator, instantly I knew what the whole staff was about. And told them. I told them what it looked like. And they were in on Toronto, I think. And I'm sitting here. I had it down pegged to the gauges from the length of it to the carvings of it. How the carvings were made. How the staff was cut. What the staff represents and what it does. It's a magic staff. It's a woman's staff.
Uh-huh.
For all the women of the world. And they, I think, that this August or September, they're going to do the great ceremony.
So these staffs may be important to opening up these caves or these entrances, huh?
Yes.
It's almost like we're talking about the same type of staff I would imagine that Moses used to strike the stone, to strike the mountain, to release the water.
Well, the Mayan elders brought the Mayan elders brought some of their staffs up to one of the Navajo reservations a few years ago. Elder Leon Sacatero was the contact there, and this information is at spiritualelders.org, and the tribe there, they're about 25 miles west of Albuquerque, and they're at the exit for Tahajigi, and it's just before the Las Lunas exit, but they were known anciently by the Spanish skull people, and they have a crystal skull. And I imagine Joshua Shapiro will be talking about this next week, because Brother Elder Leon was a friend of my teacher, John Red Hat. But these staffs were copied. They were brought up here by the nine elders and left, and copies were made. And then the elders from South America came up and got the originals. But these staffs are extremely important.
And do you think, Red Elk, that these staffs will open up these entrances that you're talking about up there?
Okay.
Huh?
Okay.
Not the case. No.
It happens. And what has already happened, they point the staff at the ocean, you know, shores where the water's coming in. And right then and there, a whirlpool opens up. And they can see women's faces in the whirlpool. This staff, this time, the ceremony it was meant for, will do the same thing. And there will be some 13 women. One will be white. The rest will be Native American. True Native American. Not these people like my other white ancestors. They will literally walk into the whirlpool, and the whirlpool will close around them. And they will disappear from our sight. And we will have to keep a bonfire going and praying and singing until it's time for it to open. And they will come out with unbelievable knowledge.
Now you're actually talking about a portal, aren't you?
I am. But hear me. The knowledge will be for the women of the world. No color, no creed, no language, for every female. And when I was presenting the knowledge of the staff at this big lodge, my guys, let me clue you in on this. It was like going back 2-3 years ago to a real powwow, you know, of the high. The only difference was is they were wearing white man's clothes. And that was the only difference. But they had women society members in this huge thing. Men society members.
Well, okay, doesn't that almost take you back to Star Wars, I can't think of her name, but wasn't the Star Wars kind of based off a Cherokee prophecy about a white woman that would lead the people, and then she'd be representing the Cherokee nations?
I have no idea.
No.
I
think her name was Leah.
There will be, I think, if I remember correctly, 13 women involved that will go forward to see if they're the ones to go down. And some will be rejected and be really ticked off because they think they're important people.
Uh-huh.
And some will stay at the circle to pray for their sisters to go down. And then the 7, I believe, are going down.
Yeah. Well, see, even with the Native Americans, you know, see, there again, you still have an elite factor that is controlling the knowledge, just like the whites or anybody else.
I mean, they are trying to control it. But
yeah.
Listen, the time is now, right? N-O-W. That this control is being tossed right out the window.
Yeah.
The only way it can be controlled is if you kill the people.
Yeah.
Because it will be so strong upon the people to do what they're being told, led, forced to do good God things, that they will just ignore all these baddies that are trying to stop it or be part of it for self. That staff will not, literally, will not allow an untrue heart to be involved. Each woman of these 13 will have to walk towards that staff backwards. And the staff will see its heart, see the heart of each woman, one by one. And if the woman is of wrong heart, it's as if you are walking backwards to a man laying on the floor with his leg up against his chest. And if you're wrong heart, you're going to get booted in the butt by 2 strong feet, and you're going to be kicked out of the circle. This is actually going to happen. I've seen it. Now, in the staff, when I presented it to the people, I told them that there is one woman here, and I pointed to the woman with the staff. I won't let them look here. And I said, this is the woman. She is going to, this is the key. She is going to turn the key. She has the prayer to open it up to start it. This older lady, my grandmother, looked at me very perplexed, and I looked at her in my lap, and I said, "Do you know the prayer?" And you could see in my eyes, she didn't. She thought. And I had to tell her, "You hold the staff. You begin praying. The prayer will come because you were born with it." And Lord, did that thing roll out. When she started to pray, she was hesitant, but all of a sudden the staff just kind of gripped her, and she just rolled up and roared up the prayer.
I think I know why.
Well, because God is not going to let the bad guys beat.
Well, women, the prayers of mothers are very, very, very special, and they have number one priority with Creator.
Yes.
But it's got to be a mother's prayer on behalf of her people.
Yeah,
like a bear with a cup. I think you understand.
Exactly. I know, I live with a bear clan mother, so.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Now, there are going to be two staffs, just like what happened with Moses and the Pharaoh. There was the counterfeit staff and the real staff,
right.
The staff of Moses. Everything, we have to realize, everything is mirrored in this world. So wherever there's want, there's going to be a counterfeit.
The law of duality.
Yeah.
It's called balance, but also good that always overcomes evil in the long run.
Yeah.
Well, we have to learn to choose.
Oh, yes.
Well, first of all, I have to realize that there is a choice, that what we've been taught is not the truth.
Well,
and then start doing something about it.
We talk about the leaders of the churches and religions. I'm talking worldwide religions.
Oh, yeah.
And we say they're the ones that led us down this primrose lane of, do as we say. And this is true to a point. If they would pay attention to what scriptures say, it says, test the spirit of all things. That is even testing the spirit of what you're being taught from the pulpit or whatnot, the mosque. And we can throw a lot of blame on those teachers, but ultimately the blame is upon us.
That's right. But, there's a way out. I keep talking about all things common. And back in 1884, there was an article printed in the Salt Lake Contributor magazine. It was a vision. And it was, if you read it today, and it's in my one of my prophecy encyclopedias, it's the 1884 prophecy of chemical attack on the U.S., mass death and divine intervention, if living all things common. And that's the title of it. If you go and read this,
that's a big word, yeah.
Well, if you read this article, it starts out with a group of people sitting at Thanksgiving time eating a meal, and the next thing they know, the sky kind of turns a funny color, and they said that while the feast was in progress, the sky turned a peculiar, sickly, brassy color, and then throughout the atmosphere, small white specks started falling. And it's kind of like
fallout,
kind of like snowflakes in winter. Well, fallout doesn't kill this fast. It says that these people started dropping dead on the spot. Now, the only thing that does that is chemical attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then the vision showed that this was going on all over the place. And I remember this is 1881 or 2. And then there were several different scenes that this person was shown. But they were showing people were dying and dead everywhere. Not a soul was shown alive. They had either stricken or they had fled this plague. But the last scene was a beautiful park-like grassy prairie surrounded by elm and cottonwood trees. And in the center of the enclosure was a large cone-shaped tent of a bright purple color. What does that sound like? Teepee. And it was about 30 feet in height, 20 feet in diameter. Well, that's a typical size for an Indian powwow council teepee. Midway in the height of this tent, there was a floor dividing it into two stories. Now, that's unusual. But near the tent was another round wall tent about 30 feet in diameter, about nearly as high as the first, but it was clean and white. So the first tent was purple colored, and the second tent was white. So it's very obvious to me that these were Indian people coming together with white people. And it said that there were around the central tents were hundreds of small rectangular wall tents and rows, reaching as far as the eye could see. And the surrounding trees, each tent was clean and white, and about the size needed for a family. And it says not a human being, animal, bird, or vehicle was in sight. Not a breath of air was stirring, and everybody was just fine. And they were shown that these people were who had been promised divine intervention, that they were living together, and they were receiving the daily revelations of God, and they were preserved from the plague.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Well, you call it all-based comment. We're the Inner Hierarchy, one of the societies, and the main society that I belong to. We call that purity.
Exactly.
That's
a pure teaching of Creator.
Yes, it's not only that, but your relationship with that so pure that he's become Dad, your father, creator, your friend.
Well, I don't know, folks. Tell you the truth, I still think, I know what you guys are saying, and it sounds really great, but personally, I think that people should be looking for safety places such as underground tunnel system, some place that they can go to protect themselves until the earth clears up. You know?
So you're asking them to run around looking in fear.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not asking them to look in fear. I'm saying that they should prepare now, find these places and have them where they're accessible in case that there is something that happens.
They have a point.
They're already prepared for it.
This is true, and to be honest with you, I'm telling the people on the phone the same thing. I'm telling them, learn to eat bugs, for God's sake, now.
Exactly. That's another thing. Learn what the herbs are. The willow bark, like aspirin. Know what each one is. Learn how to live off the land again.
Hey, if everybody
there is a problem with that.
Hmm.
But I have seen there is much, so much that is dead. The medicine people, there are some that have contacted me, male and female, saying, we know what the future holds. We know that the plants that we use for healing just won't be there anymore.
Yeah.
So few and far apart that we look for days to get one piece and we need 30 pieces.
Well, then maybe what we should be doing now is drying up our herbs, preparing now.
A little bit more. You can go beyond that. See, honey, you're looking at self right now.
Uh-huh.
I tell you the truth. If you have got a pure heart,
in a childlike mind to pretend so strongly it is as a childlike mind. You can literally, and I've seen this in vision happening, envision a tree, say an apple tree, or pine tree, or willow, whatever. You can envision it in your head so strongly that you can envision it there on that burned hillside, that everything is dead. And when you open your eyes, there it is, and you can go up and pick an apple.
You know what? You're exactly right.
We must get out of self. Yes, self is nice, but self is temporary.
Yeah.
There are ways, you know, we are being led by science and so-called industry and stuff like that to rely on them. We're gods. Look what we gave you, the internet, the telephone, whatnot, glasses, all that jazz. Listen, I have walked in rain, storm, so cold I could see my breath, 10 1/2 hours, working right out in the open at about 72 degrees. When I walked into a huge, 30 or a little bit less mud puddle that was over my ankle, the water parted at my feet. My cloth tennis shoes didn't get wet. I had not a drop fall on my head, and it scared the living hell out of the whites of God.
That's similar to what happened at the Fatima in Portugal.
Yeah.
I tell you the truth, we don't need to cut a tree to build a house. Now, I'm living in a trailer house. My wife needs it. I don't. We can envision our dwelling, and we're right outside and be in that dwelling, and people could walk right by us and not even know there's a dwelling there.
Yeah.
And this is what we are capable. The Creator says, we are as gods, with a little g. We cannot be God, but we can be godly. We cannot be Lucifer, but we can be satanic, Satan, and be satanic. We cannot be the Christ, the pale one, but we can be Christ-like.
Now, when Jesus was here, he said, these things you've seen me do, and even greater things, you can do.
Well, yes, and I've learned to do many of these things, and I teach how to do many of these things. And people come to me expecting to watch me lift up and float off. I don't do it at their commands. I do it only at the Creator's. And they're disappointed. And I tell them, listen, here's how to do it now. If you're really sincere, you will do it. And I do have people doing it. This is, you know, we're looking for industry to save us. We're looking for government to save us. Our government.
No, I'm not.
No, thank God. Yes. Our government is the Creator and His government. He's got angels, soldiers, and secretaries, and everything else. But if you're truly a Christian, truly a Christ follower, then you're an emissary to earth and an ambassador to the country you're in. And your government is the kingdom of heaven with dad in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And we here, I follow Christ. And I haven't seen anybody talk about flying, but I sure have seen him talk me down as a devil.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't. I've walked for 5 1/2 hours in full invisibility on a hidden base that I could have gotten shot at. And I walked the old guy 20 feet or less from two guards with high-fire rifles right in front of them. And they would have killed me. That's their order. And yet I was invisible. They couldn't hear me, smell me, sense me, taste me. You know, if I'd accidentally hit their shoulder, they'd have thought that maybe they had a tick. You know, a little jerk in their shoulder. And these things are possible. And yet industry's saying, look, we're inventing how to be invisible. We're inventing how to time travel. And you need this machine and that machine. Bull crap. You need only your creation or your connection with the Creator. Everything that Christ did, he said he can do. And he said he is willing to help you learn to do it. But these people are sitting around in their dogma saying, yeah, but he was the Son of God. And yet claim to be adopted, making them sons and daughters of God. but not taking it as truth. They are liars.
They're lying to themselves.
Well, they're lying to the world.
Yeah. Well, I think it's been interesting, and I sure hope that we are able to get you back on our show again, Riddell.
You're telling me goodbye.
Well, no, unless you want, I didn't know. Do you want to still talk more?
Well, but I would like to say this.
Okay. Well, I'll just kind of like, yes. Okay.
Any crew that happens to be hearing this, and this is going to be real rare, hear me. Test me. Know my heart. And if you have knowledge of a sacred place that you think should be presented, I will be up there at this big meeting next year, Saskatchewan. I don't know. They're anyway, good big one. And if you talk to your clan's people and bring it forward, then if you're interested in having me go to open this place or that place, I'm not in there for anything other than to help the people of the world. And the Cree people are, I believe, fully. I don't know fully, but I have a very strong belief that the Cree people are going to be the leaders that start even ours down in the States to finally break down and say, yeah, maybe we are hoarding.
Well, good for the Cree.
Well, let's see.
Okay, since you want to talk, then I'm going to ask you a couple questions that I want to know about, okay? And you might have the answers for me. Now, I've already asked Blue Otter on this. And as a matter of fact, somebody actually sent me some information on it from California. So maybe you have something to contribute to it. Have you ever heard of the Blue People?
Oh, sure. I know one.
Oh, good for you. Boy, oh, boy. Am I ever lucky. Tell me.
The Blue People are not from our planet, but they kind of, I don't know, DNA'd in or slipped in or whatnot.
See, I have documented evidence that a race of Blue People actually did exist. As a matter of fact, there is a clan of them that lives down in Kentucky, I believe.
Well, I tell you this. The Blue People that I have seen in spirit, as well as the one that I know personally, are very big people. They're not little people. They're big. The ones I know.
Uh-huh.
And they're guards. They're guards to their mate. They're guards to the person that they are to be guards of. The mates have special knowledge. And boy, I tell you, these are guards. They don't only love their mates. These are males that I meet.
Uh-huh.
But holy mackerel, you don't want to mess with them.
The Cherokee, did they come into the Ohio Valley? Was that what it was?
A group of people, Grandfather Red Elk, when we came to the Ohio River Valley, probably upwards about 1,500 years ago, we met a people. Well, we noticed that there were gardens and nobody was tending them. And so we watched the gardens, and at night we noticed people were coming out. They were very pale, blue skin, and kind of had different looking eyes. And we finally figured out that they were living underground and coming out and tending the gardens at nighttime because they couldn't come out in the daytime.
And then the Cherokee said that they had wiped them out.
Yeah.
All right, but Blue Otter was able to find out that there was some people that were going down into the caves down, was it in the Arkansas?
Well, there was two. There was a couple of cavers that went into one of the deepest caves in the country. It was in somewhere around Mountain Home, Arkansas, the north central Arkansas, which is karst cave country. And they said that they got down to about the mile deep level, and a hairy being of some kind started throwing rocks at them and discouraging them from going ahead, and they made a lot of noise, and they chased their attacker off. But they went forward, and you mentioned earlier our grandfather Red Elk did mention tubes, underground tubes.
Yes.
They found one of these clear tubes in a wall, and they were able to look into the tube and see that it may have been used for transportation. They could look clear through the tube, but on the other side they saw buildings.
Oh, yes. You ought to see some of these unfound cities. One is under New Mexico, Mexico City. And it's all lined with gold. The buildings are absolutely beautiful. Empty for the runners, for those that will go and hike. The one that I'm in charge of to open up the opening to bring people into to say their rear is all made out of maybe a sandstone, but it looks more like old white marble. All white marble. But these cities are built from the things that are local to the area. One is black, totally black, like obsidian. But it doesn't mean it's a black, you know, bad city. It's just the fact that they had to build it with. A lot of these places are not found by the white man yet.
Now, also you had, I remember listening to you on Artville one time, and I've always tried to follow up on it. You talked about this hole to hell.
Mel's hole. Mel's hole,
yes, yes,
Mel's hole.
What did you find out? Because I
hadn't... Originally, it was a blow-to from Mount Rainier, originally. That hole is 27 to 27 and one-half miles deep. It is connected to Mount Rainier through a tube, right?
Uh-huh.
But it has also been connected by the Draconian race, which is a real wild bunch underground. And they are using it. Our government took it from them. I have literally watched one huge, I would safely say the size of a football field, which I think I'd be much safer saying three, orb, stand there and transfer things from the hole in and from it down, including human captives. And the Draculian race has control of it now. And our government, or much of our black ops government, is very deeply involved and are partially, literally partially, Draculian themselves.
Oh, yes, yes, I believe
and
that.
And there's no place to mess with.
Now, have you, is this open to the public, or have they got that fenced off where, I mean, but people, I mean, they don't have, like, signs up saying no trespassing or anything.
Yes, they do.
Oh, they do now?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
The actual hole is covered by a small outbuilding that opens up like a book opens when it's standing on a stand. And the hole cannot be seen because of the building. But it opens up like a book. And then the hole is exposed to those transfers.
And who put the building up?
Our Black Ops group.
Because when you first found it, it was just the hole.
When I first saw it, the shooter was open to anyone. You know, this is 61, I think, 60-61.
And then later on, Black Ops or someone came in and put up a building on top of it. And, you know, Blue Otter, that happens so much. Anytime there's a gosh darn entrance to, you know, a tunnel system, you could bet that there's some sort of a building put on top of it.
Oh, down in Brazil, there were tunnels so deep that there was a military unit got lost in them. They died of one of these down there not too long ago. Well, you're talking about, hundreds of miles deep.
Yeah.
Long.
Yeah, well, there's five layers of Earth. We're on number six, six layers. We're on the surface of six. The middle, the dead center, is all molten like lava and stuff. There might be a tube through it, but I don't know. But nevertheless, nobody lives in that molten lava.
Well, I'm a
first of it is where Lucifer has his head.
Well, I'm a firm believer in Shambhala, the inner cities of Shambhala.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Shambhala, out of it's not out of Tibet, it's out of, it actually exists close to Tibet.
Well, there's many entrances. Tibet, yes, but there's many entrances. There's an entrance in Iraq. There's an entrance in Tibet. But there's also an entrance that supposedly takes you there, right in Mammoth Caves.
Yeah.
in Kentucky.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
See, that's the area of the Cherokee we call the Wasioto, or that's our central fire.
Yeah. Well, and that could be very well the reason why.
Our inner earth is made up of caves, and the ones directly below us that are not man-made are huge, giant caves, sometimes 27 miles long or so, 2-3 miles high, and with holes, and the air from our surface goes through those holes, creates a fog-like cloud, and so the dwellers of those caves, and there's dwellers, and not in all, but in a number, they can't, they know it's the sky, and they think they're living in a huge valley, because when they go all around it, they hit walls, you know, it's the cave wall.
Uh-huh.
And there's also tunnels leading from station until you get down, right down to Lucifer's
Valley. Well, I think that Jules Verne actually had secret knowledge based on, because journey up to the center of the earth, because he was in the same secret society as Nostradamus, and I can't think of all the ones that were involved in it, but yes, he was. But anyhow, I still think that Jules Verne had a lot of information on what he's seen down there.
There are still mastodons. There are still dinosaurs.
See you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
Well, I think that that's where, like your Bigfoot, I think that's where the Bigfoot is underground, and then it's just like what Blue Otter said, they come out at night, you know, to gather various herbs or whatever that they wouldn't necessarily be able to get down below.
I've had my little run-ins with Bigfoot, and there are two types. There's one from another dimension that looks like us, ours, which I call Bigfoot, but they're not our Bigfoot. And they're one of the unholy four that work with the Dracalians and the Greys and the Bigotties and the Gargoyles.
Well, if you remember the time traveler, or the time machine? The old one. Remember how that was? He went into the future, and there was two races of beings, the ones that were living on top of the earth, and then the other ones that had the higher technology that was living underground. And if you remember right, those people had blue skin.
Well, yes, I've heard of the children of blue skin that came out.
Yeah.
The two, evidently brother and sister. But as they stayed here on the surface, they lost their tone.
Well, these
even this Dave Blue that I know, he's as gentle as can be.
Yeah.
Until you start stepping on toes.
Yeah.
And it's all interesting. There's many, many, many things that are unknown to the white people there's many books that open up doors to possibilities. People get to thinking about this and that, and yet there's dead truth in those books. You know, what do they call the trolls, or what are the bad ones?
There's the Taros and there's the Daryls. I think that
no, no, no. Well, that's true, the Daryl, but they are, you know, fairy tales. There's trolls and what? We got pixies and gnomes.
Leprechauns.
And leprechauns, but no, the bad ones.
Hells?
No, the bad ones.
Well, I thought they were the leprechauns.
Oh, no.
The
no,
trolls. No. There's
leprechauns are kick.
And then there's
the trolls.
So.
Well, the trolls, and there's another one. I think it starts with G. But do you know what those are?
Gremlins. You're thinking of
gremlins. Yes. Those are the one with the D name that you just called out.
The Daryl.
Those are the same thing.
Yeah.
In reality, those are the Atlanteans that had to be left behind. Because the ships didn't have enough for everybody.
Yeah.
They went underground to evade the war and bread. And now they are insane midgets.
Yeah. Well, there was
very dangerous.
Yeah, and I think that there was a lot of people that that were, you know, after that ancient nuclear war that they had, or atomic war that they had, that were on the surface mutated. And,
well, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, and
not everybody could find a hole in the roof.
Yeah.
But the fact is, fairies really exist. That's a fact.
Well, sure, you know what? Another thing is that people aren't aware of is the computer gremlins. You ever heard of that?
I don't know that, but I've got something in my house that makes everything disappear.
Yeah, I do. I got those little buggers too. But I don't know too much about them. All I know is that there's supposed to be some sort of an entity that actually travels back and forth through the computers, which makes sense because of the electrical waves, electronic waves.
Right.
Yeah, it would be very easy if a person knew how to do it. I imagine it would be quite easy to do.
Now, this summer, I was hoping to get down to New Mexico. And I was to go and speak in Toronto, but today it was canceled. I was going to use the money to go to New Mexico. There is a very small area there that is so sacred it just blew my mind. Now, I know gnomes. I know fairies. I know the Interland Queen, personally. But at least the one of North America, I assume of all, but I don't know. But nevertheless, I got good friends in the Interland. And, I have walked on gnome homes right on the roof, knowing full well that there's a gnome right down there.
They're little
huts. I have been through some of their tiny little villages, but never have I even had an inkling of an idea of what I ran into in New Mexico. There is a whole giant hillside that it's like I lived in Kansas and all of a sudden somebody flies me into New York City. It is a city of little people.
Really?
All sorts. And I'm supposed to go back there this summer.
Well,
I haven't got the money.
I used to live down there next to the Superstition Mountains, and I used to have a newspaper business. And I used to write stories, you know, from the people, you know, the Indians coming in, or, you know, the prospectors that have been up in the mountains. And the Indians used to have a legend, and I know that it's true. I just know it is. And they say that the little people live within the mountain, and they went in, or they went into the mountain and underground when the giants came upon the earth.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, they do war with these D people that you're talking about.
But
they are mortal enemies.
Yeah.
And there's constant warfare down there. By the way, in the superstitions, there is an abandoned, I guess you could say little mining town, way up in the mountains. And you have these D people. What is that? What is the name?
Daryl.
Yeah.
They're
Derros. Yeah. And these Derros are the ones that, you go up to sightseeing, it's wide open. You have to drive a very dangerous road down there. And you can see a Daryl every once in a while standing in this cave. And people that have been caught out in the open have, some supposedly have been vaporized. And some are taken into a captivity. They've got that up in the Cree Nations too, so I suppose it's all over here.
Yeah. Well, I've known prospectors that have come out, or what, prospectors and mountain men, you know, basically up there, you know, treasure hunters, you know, looking for the pearls of gold or whatever. And, like, there's this one guy, he wrote, I can't remember, he's deceased now, but he was a friend of mine, but his name was Bob Ward. And Bob told me that there was a time that he was crossing, like, this little plain, you know, that in the superstition. And he walked into a mist. And he says, when he walked into that mist, he says, it was just like he went into another time.
Yeah.
And then he continued to walk, and then he went back out through that mist, and he was back to where, you know, things were normal again. But he says it was the strangest thing.
Oh, yeah. There by China Lake in California, I believe. I think it's California. The back goes in. You, literally, that mist is on both sides of the little dinky road. And, boy, I tell you, it's guarded by, skinwalkers, shapeshifters that go into the shape of an actual werewolf, a clothed werewolf.
Uh-huh.
And these things can actually keep up to your car at 60 miles an hour.
Yeah. Although now a lot of people don't believe in skinwalkers, but you know yourself, they're true.
All right. Yeah, they're. You get upset when I even mention the word.
Well, you know.
Well,
now I heard that what a lot of the problem with that is, some people what they do is they're able to shape shift into an animal. Okay, but then when they try to come back, but then when they can't try to come back into human form. They get caught somehow.
Oh, that's possible in your case.
And a lot of times, that's where you'll find I don't know if it would really be a skinwalker or not, but sometimes these people they come across like what they think is werewolves and things like that. And somebody told me that what that was is that they had shifted into like the wolf, but when they tried to come back, something didn't work right, so they kind of got caught in between.
Yes, I would say that is not totally correct.
Yeah.
They run into them because those things are out looking to see what they're up to, maybe.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're spies and stuff.
And who do you think they are, these werewolves?
Well, they're basically North American Indians.
So they're like a skinwalker?
Yeah. They're in societies of evil. And our government has hired a bunch of these people. Our black government.
Uh-huh.
And so they get paid well to guard. And
well, I do know that the Indians, because I was up at Dulce, New Mexico one time. See, every year we do a UFO trip, my husband and I. And one year we went up to Dulce, and I was talking to somebody outside of Dulce, I think over by Farmington, actually, it was, and he was telling us about how the Indians are paid by the government in that Dulce area to spy on any outsiders coming in, and if they get too close to anything, then the Indians would let somebody know, and the next thing you know, you got somebody there, some official there saying to get off the off the property.
Now, this is quite rampant.
Yeah.
And very rampant down in the Four Corners, extremely so.
I went to school with the gal that was just recently elected as tribal chairman for the group at Dulce. She was an upward people with me.
Uh-huh. And what did she say?
I haven't spoken with her.
Oh, okay.
I haven't spoken with her. I've got her email address, but, you know.
But I hear that a lot of children in that area, you know, are kidnapped, you know, and taken down into that Dulce underground facility.
I see. You know, I can go into the spiritual, where they can't see me. I'm not doing an OBE. I have no concentration to find. I'm totally invisible, even to those to do will be. And I can go places that you wouldn't believe, and I have seen things that would make you shudder. And I just am thankful that there is no death. The life goes on after this death.
Yeah.
And, because I see what they do to our people, and it's horrible.
No, it's not just you.
This one down in Mills Hole, they have a special thing. They kidnap people, usually pretty good, red-headed, younger women,
uh-huh.
teens, but, you know, early 20s. And they put them in a body wrap. That when they're alive, and when they peel it off, it peels the skin off, leaving just their muscles exposed, alive and screaming, because they don't fear. It's like...
It's negative. It's a very high energy. That's why, like with the Inquisition, you know, there was so much torture involved, just because the torture is, you know, a very extremely high energy, negative energy that the fourth dimension creatures can travel in and out of third dimension from. Or using
well,
it as a tool.
There's a way that each one of us can do the same thing.
Yeah.
As I've been up to the Grand Council. We call it the
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of WiseFoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from wisefoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed, and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year's supply from wisefoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet, by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
Yes. And that's what these remote viewers are doing.
That's a crock of crap. I know 4 of them that are still here.
Well, you know yourself. If something's working, the government's not going to give up on it.
Well, he's the mole. M-O-L-E. He was told to come out and expose himself so that people would believe him when he started telling them the future events.
Yeah.
And then when they said, now make him tell him this, and he would tell them that, and in a day or two, something, wow, he's right.
You know, it's gain the public's trust, and then start feeding them false information.
Well, now he's saying, hey, World War III is around the corner, we said the other night.
Yeah.
Who's that?
The people are just not aware of what's going on. And even a lot of our Native American Indians are not aware of what's going on.
No.
And it's time that... you know, this sounds like crazy talk to the world.
Well, sure. Well, it does, but isn't that how everything starts out? Is first of all, is they look at you like you're crazy, and then they become angry, and then after that is acceptance.
Oh,
those are the three stages.
Three phases, truth, past, through.
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. If that three phases, we haven't got long to go before you better accept in a hell of a hurry.
Yeah. Well, as you see, that's what Bluewater and I are doing, you know, with the help of you and all the other guests that Bluewater has. Blue Otter, as a matter of fact, let me tell you, Red Elk, Blue Otter is really doing one heck of a job for not only the Native America people, but the other people of the world. I hope that everyone out there appreciates what this man is doing for all of us.
All I can say is I have good teachers.
I can get a general idea. What are you doing?
I have good teachers. I have good teachers like Red Elk and John Red Hat and Rolling Thunder. And you know, every one of these teachers are people that are reviled by mainstream Native America.
Or hated.
Or both.
Yeah.
And I tell you, when you're hated, you've got the hate like you wouldn't believe.
Well, what do they say? To be successful, you need friends. But to be very successful, you need enemies.
Yeah.
And I got a few of them.
Well, then you know you're very successful with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys don't know nothing until you start reading some of the email I get in here.
I've been in this 5 years, and death threats and everything else.
I just look at it that when I get people that upset, then I must be touching on to something very important.
Well, you think that's good? You went and tell the CIA or the lower black ops, start following your rules.
Hey, who says I haven't?
Welcome to the club.
No.
You know, they try to fear you into stopping, and they know the only way they can stop you is to kill you.
Yeah.
If they can't fear you.
Well,
and if they can't kill you, or they want to stop you and control you.
Well, you know, though, Red Elk, I have told this to people time and time again, and I really believe this. If you have information out there, you are safer by getting a hold of somebody like me or Art Bell or Jeff Renz or Jerry Pippen or whoever. Get that information out there. Let people know who you are. Because as soon as you do that, then you are no longer in the shadows where you are touchable by these people. These people like to work in the shadows, in the secrecies. So, and then if you have information and you don't tell people, then you are very unsafe. So, get that information out there.
Well, I tell people basically the same thing.
Yeah.
And my daughter, a full-blood Indian, we've adopted the Colville Indian girl. And she's 34, I think, now. That might be 32 or 3, I don't know. But, anyway, she came in one day, about 28 years old, and was crying, very distraught. And I said, I looked at her, and she come right to me, and she said, Dad, I don't know what you're doing, but would you please stop? She got a 5.5-hour trip, stopped by cops, every block or 3 blocks, car searched and everything else. It's a 15-minute trip from my house to where she was at and down.
Yeah.
And they were just trying to say, watch yourself, Red Elk.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love my daughter. I love my grandchildren. I love them. And yet, for the sake of the world's people, I've got to put them in jeopardy.
Well, I've been doing my work, I guess, maybe 60, almost, I hate to think this, but I guess I've been actually putting out information to the public for almost 20 years. And so, you know, I have gone through, the fires many times. And at one point in time, I did quit because it just got too much because, you know, I had, small children at that time. And it just got to the point where, you know, my life was hell. And I just said, no more. And so I quit for years. And then finally I decided, no, I have to go back and continue my work.
I put a piece in the theater about my website, not my phone, but my website. So I'm